بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا وقال تعالى إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم My dear respected علماء كرام حفاظ كرام elders and brothers in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the wealth of Iman, the wealth of the Kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is a great ni'mat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which we need to make shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala daily for. One is, we just say it, you know, sometimes at the beginning of the bayan, we say we need to make shukr, you know, as a, just like a custom. But actually we need to think and ponder that how great gift Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us. What a great ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this iman. A person can enter into Jannat. A person, even if he has an iota of iman, even if he has an iota of iman, then one day Allah ta'ala will put him into Jannat. The last person to go into Jannat will get a Jannat 10 times the size of this world. The last person to go into Jannat, he'll get a Jannat 10 times the size of this world. So how much of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we need to make daily? We need to make shukr with our heart, we need to make shukr with our tongue, and also we need to make shukr with our body as well. That means whatever the demands of this iman is, we need to bring it alive in our lives. We need to bring it into ourselves. And when we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala increases his ni'mat. Allah ta'ala gives us more. Whatever ni'mat, dunyavi ni'mat also a person makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ We understand that sometimes with regards to the dunyawi ni'mats, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we also need to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the dini ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Allah ta'ala has given us this iman. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have come to the masjid to perform our salah. This is a great ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will increase. If we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala brought us to the masjid, Allah Ta'ala will increase us, bring us again for the next salah, next namaz. Allah Ta'ala will bring us again to the masjid. And again, when we carry on making shukr, Allah Ta'ala will bring the qualities that we need in that namaz, Allah Ta'ala will give it to us. So we need to make lot of shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for this iman. And we need to make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protects this iman of ours. Allah Ta'ala protects this iman. This hidayat, which iman is hidayat, we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala every day, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ in a namaz. How many times in one rakat we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in surah Fatiha. So if every rakat we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayat, Fajr 4, Zuhr 12, like that. How many times a day we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this hidayat? So we need to put our mind also into this. That what are we asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? That this hidayat, what is the meaning of hidayat? Is that now we're bringing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives. We following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ So we following the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam, of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So the more we make shukr, the ulama ikram say, الشكر قيد للموجود وصيد للمفقود. الشكر قيد للموجود. That means whatever ni'mat you got, by making shukr, Allah Ta'ala keeps that ni'mat with you. Allah Ta'ala keeps those ni'mats with you. And whatever ni'mats you don't have, Allah Ta'ala brings those ni'mats also. Allah Ta'ala loves it when his servant makes shukr to him. Takes one luqma and says, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala gets happy with that servant. He drinks one sip of water and he says, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala loves it. Imagine you make shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for this ni'mat of iman. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this deen. This deen has come to us with great sacrifice. This deen has come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perfectly from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on this deen to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum passed it on to the next generation. And this was the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in place for the deen to reach us, for deen to be preserved, for deen to be, the hifazat of deen to take place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system for the hifazat of deen. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Allah ta'ala, together with sending the hidayah, sending down deen, Allah ta'ala sent anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. So the deen which we got, we can see it practically. We can see it practically in the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sahaba radiallahu anhum take it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they followed Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 100% whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to do, how they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it, that's how they done it. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the best example, the most beautiful example in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is called, the ulama ikram call it ta'assi. That you make ta'assi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the ulama ikram explain that what is this ta'assi? It is to follow someone. It is to follow someone fi'lu mithli fi'li al-ghayr li'ajli annahu fa'alahu. That you're doing what that person done because he done it. Because he done it, that's why we're doing it. So when we following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are we following Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done it, that's what we're doing. That's, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wuzu in this way, then we're following Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his way of wuzu because he done it, that's why we're doing it. No other reason. No, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us certain things, how to perform salah, how to enter the house, how to leave the house, how to enter the toilet, how to leave the toilet, then why we are doing it? We are doing it because he done it. There's no other reason. We don't need any other excuse, any other reason why we need to do it. We're doing it because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done it. So if afterwards sometimes somebody comes tells us, mashallah, in every aspect of our deen there's benefit. In every aspect. There's no harm in any aspect of our deen. So now if tomorrow somebody comes to explain to us that see, if you do it like this, then there might be some health benefit. Or there might be some financial benefit to you. But we tell him, mashallah, very good, alhamdulillah. Allah ta'ala reward you. You explained it to us. But why are we doing it? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done it. He done it that way, that tomorrow if they come, na'uzubillah, and they say, no, if you're going to do it this way, according to the sunnah, and then it's going to be harmful to you. There's going to be some health harm coming to you, or something else is going to happen to you. We're going to say, see, we done it. Why we done it? We done it because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done it. Now, whatever else, now we're not worried about everything else. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why they done? Whatever they done it because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done it. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Referring to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the Muhajirin, the Ansar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, radiallahu anhum wa radu an. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great accolade, what a great certificate Allah ta'ala gave them. But together with that, Allah ta'ala put an extra part. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Those people also will get this, radiallahu anhum wa radu an, who follow the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Who follow the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they also will get the same. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, again, is ittiba. That means you have to follow. Now if you following, that means you're doing what the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum done. Why are you doing it? Again, the same thing the ulama ikram explained, that we're doing it because maybe because Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum done it, that's why we're doing it. They did it, that's why we're doing it. Well, if I ask my father that, you know what, I need to buy a car, or I need to get married. I need to get married, who I must get married to? So now he tells me, you buy this car. Why you must buy this car? So he tells me that, you know what, because it's very good. It's very beneficial. This is the car, the cheap parts are cheap, etc. My father, he likes Toyotas. So he tell me he want to buy Toyota. So anyway, so he said, no, the parts are very cheap. So now if I understand what my father told me, and then I'm doing it now because I understood what he said, alhamdulillah, it's okay. isn't it? But what we are required to do is we need to obey our parents. That means tomorrow if my father tells me to do something and it might not make sense to me, then I'm following him now. Why I'm following him? Because my father told me to do this. Whether I agree, whether I understand or I don't understand. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, what they done, we need to be following them. If we are agreeing with them, that's something else. If Allah ta'ala opens it up, some people, Allah ta'ala, great ulama ikram, Allah ta'ala opens it up to them. But if we don't even understand what the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, why we are following them? Because they done it. And like that, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ This deen came from generation to generation to generation, right till Allah ta'ala made it. That this is the system right till today. The system right till today is that everybody is learning from their asatiza, their mashayikh, their ulama, the elders of their, and they learn from those elders, and they learn from, right until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, in Bukhari Sharif, he brought one bab. And he's got in the bab there, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا That, oh Allah, you make us an imam for the pious people. So now outwardly, apparently now you see you want to become an imam. But Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi explained it. That what is this being referred to? He quoted certain ulama ikram that they say, نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا وَيَقْتَدِي بِنَا مَنْ بَعْدَنَا نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا وَيَقْتَدِي بِنَا مَنْ بَعْدَنَا That we will follow the people who came before us. We will follow the ulama, our asatiza, the mashayikh who came before us, and the people after us then will follow us. If the first saf is straight, then the second saf will be straight, then the third saf also will be straight, then the fourth saf. But if the first saf is not straight, then what's going to happen? Then the second saf. Or if the third saf now goes crooked. Now the fourth saf is not going to be straight because now they're going to be standing behind that saf. So what we need to be doing is we need to be seeing now how we can get this deen which came from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down to the tabi'een, tabi' tabi'een, right through until our kabirin, our asatiza, our mashayikh, how are we going to get that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the system, it came down until all through the, and this was something which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, the tabi'een studied. One is you study ilm, you go to the ulama ikram, you learn hadith, you learn Quran, you learn nahwa, you learn sarf, all different things you go, you learn. But this was one thing which they also learned. They studied it. They went out of their way, they made rihla, they made safar in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn this. It wasn't just something now that it just came by the way, that now, okay, we went to madrasa, we went to learn, and this also got done, like, together. You know, this got included in. No, it was separate. It comes regarding the students of Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that kanu yarhaluna ilayhi, that they would make rihlat specially to go to see Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fayanzurun ila hadihi wa samtihi wa dallihi. They would look at how his appearance was, how he would do certain things, how he would eat, how he would dress, everything. They would look at those things. And fayatashabbahuna bihi, then now they would imitate him in that. They would imitate him. This wasn't something which they just like, you know, picked it up on the way or just by the way. This was something they made rihlat for. Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi, very great tabi'i, student and son-in-law of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the big ulama of the tabi'in. So, he would send someone specially. He got sick towards the end of his life. He couldn't go himself. He would send someone specially to go see what Qasim ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi was doing. Hazrat Qasim ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, he was the grandson of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he would go tell them, he would go see. Sometimes Qasim ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi would go for Hajj. He would send someone with Qasim ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi for Hajj to see what he is doing. How his clothes is, labusihi. How his clothes is. How he conducts himself. Everything. And those people now would come back for you. يُبَلِّغُونَهُ They would give him the information that this is what he was doing. This is how he was doing this. This is how he was doing this. And then فَيَقْتَدِي بِهِ Then he would follow Hazrat Qasim ibn Muhammad Qasim ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi. He was a grandson of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He stayed in the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he learned the adab of nubuwat of the house of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was his Khala, was his khala. So he learned like that. So this was something which they studied and which we also need to understand. This is how our deen came and we need to learn this. Like how we learn Quran, how we learn hadith, how we learn fiqh. This also needs to be learned and then through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect our deen. Hazrat Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, they say sometimes in his majlis there would be 5,000 people. 5,000 people in one majlis. In one majlis of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. But only 500 would be students. Yaktubun al-ilm. The rest of them, 4,500, they learning now what Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, how Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, how is he dressing? How is he walking? How is he doing? This is how deen came. Slowly, from generation to generation, each generation learned from the previous generation, how they're going to do, until he came to our Akabirin, he came down to Hazrat Mujaddid al-Sisani rahmatullah alayhi, he came to Hazrat Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi, and their sacrifices, and their fuyus, and how they taught their students, and their children, and he came down right down to Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullah alayhi, they were the students of Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Mujaddidi rahmatullah alayhi. And he was a student of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And he was a student of his Nana, Maulana Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a student of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. And Maulana Abdul Ghani Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali. He was from the family of Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fisani Rahmatullah Ali. So he got his ilm also through his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, right up to Mujaddid Al-Fisani Rahmatullah Ali. That same tarbiyat came down. And then, through them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up, and Allah ta'ala decided, and this was the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, in India, there was a lot of zulm which was taking place on the Muslims, oppression, etc. So they stood up against the British government, and they made jihad. They went in the battlefield. Allah ta'ala's decision was that outwardly, apparently, they did not get victory. Victory they got, 100%, they won the battle because they done what Allah Ta'ala wanted them to do, that's what they done. So that was their victory. They already won. They already won because they done what Allah Ta'ala wanted them. But outwardly, apparently, they couldn't overthrow the government. They couldn't overthrow the government. So then after that, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali and Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali made a lot of mashwara with Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. And then the bunyad and the foundations of Darul Dioban was placed. The foundations of Darul Deoband, they say around 1283 Hijri, that 1866 or something, around there it started. But as Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah explained, that Deoband is a place. Deoband is a place in Saharanpur in India. But now when you say the ulama of Deoband, is not referring to the place. That means this person now came from that place. It is referring to certain ulama and certain awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who got certain qualities. And if they got those qualities, whether they from Deoband or whether they from some other place in India or any other place in the world, then they will be considered to be ulama Deoband. And if they don't have those qualities, then wherever they come from, then they won't be considered to be ulama of Deoband. The ulama of Deoband is not a place. The place itself is not now the maqsood. The place is not the object. The object is the sifat. And now we need to see that what sifat they had through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them for the tajdeed of deen. Allah ta'ala used them to bring alive deen again in the pristine form, in a general. It was there, Allah ta'ala had protected deen, but now to make it common amongst the people, Allah ta'ala used them. Allah ta'ala, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith, that Allah ta'ala will send, every 100 years Allah ta'ala will send certain people, مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ, who will make tajdeed of deen. So this man, the ulama I can say, it can be one person also. And also it can also be a jamaat. It can also be a jamaat. It doesn't necessarily mean it's only one person. So this was a whole jamaat. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, then their students, one student made tajdeed of entire fields. Hazrat Sheikh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayhi. Great effort of deen. Every aspect of deen they brought alive. Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi, Maulana Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayhi. What great! But now what we need to understand, as I explained, as our Akabir also explained, that what qualities they had. Every aspect of deen, they, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala had given them, whether it was taqwa, whether it was zuhud, whether it was piety, every aspect. But Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he explained that there were certain qualities which they stood out with. Certain qualities, he mentioned about five qualities, we'll discuss few of them, see what Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq. The first quality is proper aqidah. The aqidah. That means their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 100%. No wrong aqidah getting mixed with this. At that time, we must understand that what halat the ummah was going through. We think that in our times also, this is halat coming down, Allah Ta'ala protect the ummah, Allah Ta'ala remove the halat that is on the Muslims every way, whether it is in Gaza, whether it is in Sudan, or in China, different places of the world is halat coming down. At that time, the Khilafat Uthmaniyah was falling. What a big thing was happening. That means, the Khilafat which was in place from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right till then, now it was starting to fall down. So there was a lot of conditions coming down. So they went out of their way. They went out of their way to make hifazat and protect. How much of chanda they made, they collected billions of, nowadays if you count it, it's billions. That time it was millions of rupees and they sent. They sent for the Turkish Empire in Shukr. They even sent a jubba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is now in Darul Deoband presently. So in gratitude for so much, and they were even ready to go themselves to go fight for the Khilafat Uthmaniyah, and they tried to use the Khilafat Uthmaniyah to overthrow the British regime, but it never happened. It couldn't. Allah Ta'ala, the decision wasn't there that they overthrow the British government at that time. So they went through, they done everything, every aspect, whatever they could do, they fulfilled regarding the Muslims. But together with that, they did not forget the iman. This was a very big, at times like this, when there is halat which is coming on the ummah, then how to look after the Muslims and how to look after Islam. This is like walking on a tightrope. You're walking on a tightrope, now if you move a little bit, you'll fall down. Because you have to look after the Muslims also, and you have to look after Islam also. Iman also mustn't get compromised, Islam also mustn't get compromised. Tomorrow you have Muslims, but they only got Islam in name. That also is no benefit. And you have to look after deen, but you can't forget about the Muslims also. So in this halat, our akabir, they stood and they fulfilled every aspect. And that is what we need to learn from them. And alhamdulillah, our akabir are taken from them. And if you sit in their company, then inshallah we'll be able to learn these aspects. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayhi, how many times he had to go to jail? How many times he had to go to jail? Because he was fighting the British Empire. But on the other hand, he also protected the iman of the ummah also. He also protected the iman of the ummah. How many books he wrote regarding all the different fitnas, the fitna of Barelvis, what the kitab he wrote, Ash-Shihab al-Saqib, explained everything inside there. What is the differences between us? What is our aqidah? What is the correct aqidah? Then he came to the Salafis, the Ghair Muqallid, then Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani, together, just as how he was hard against the British. He didn't want anybody to wear even the cloth which came from Britain. He said, no, you only wear locally made. He was very hard against the British. But together with that, he was very hard also against the Salafis also. He was very hard against the Ghair Muqallids also. Even to such an extent that certain ulama in their kitabs, they wrote about certain Salafi imams that, you know, they put their Shaykh al-Islam. He wasn't very happy. He wrote to them. He told them, how can you call this person? He hasn't got the right aqidah. How can you call him Shaykh al-Islam? How you can call him Shaykh al-Islam? The alim had to excuse himself. That how come? Why you had to put that Shaykh al-Islam? Very. Why? Because he knew what the Ghair Muqallids were, what the Sayyid stayed in Medina Munawwara. He read the kitabs, he knew everything what was regarding the aqidah, the dangers. When he came to Maududism, then who was the one who stood up and explained to the people what is wrong with this Maududi? All the wrong beliefs he had. It was Imam Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayhi. So he, on one hand, he was the foremost mujahid, looking after the Muslims, making jihad for the Muslims. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean now if you're looking after the Muslims and now you have to compromise on any other aspect of deen. When right at the beginning, they stood up against the British, then the Muslims and the other people who are staying in India, all of them, they also joined. But then the British government, they were very clever, so they put those people up and they started working on the Muslims to convert Muslims to Hinduism. They started converting Muslims to Hindu. So what at that time, what now the ulama are going to do?
They stood up and they made jihad and till everybody, whoever went that side, they brought them back. They made hifazat of the iman. So this aspect of aqidah, together with that, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was foremost in their life. In every aspect of their life, they put forward first, what is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what Allah ta'ala wants from me. They gave their loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Salihji Sahib, in his bingo, he explained that they gave their loyalty. They were loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before everyone else, before anything else, they were loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they could do it. Why? Because they didn't have any attachment to the world. They weren't attached to the things of the world. They lived simply. They lived very, very humbly, simple. No fancy, no luxuries. That jafakashi, the ulama can say jafakashi, like ruggedness. And sadgi, they had sadgi. So when a person has sadgi, he is simple. Now he's not attached to any luxuries. He doesn't need a certain standard of life. He doesn't need to live up to a certain standard. So because of that, now if he gets a little bit of income, Allah Ta'ala gave him a little bit of income, he gets his food, alhamdulillah. How they, so simple they were. And it wasn't simplicity because they never had. It was simplicity, ikhtiyari simplicity. That means they chose to live that life. They chose to live that life and they lived that life ikhtiyaran. Hazrat Maulana, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Qasim Nanwatwi rahmatullah alayhi, how much he was offered that he can do this job, the people will give him so much of rupees, and that time rupee was like silver. So how much they would give him? But he lived simply. Two kurtas they had. How many kurtas? Two kurtas. One kurta he wear, the other kurta he put in, wash in one. If he go on safar, he take the kurta only which is wearing. Any safar, wherever he's going, he only take the kurta. What kurta is wearing, that one, he take one lungi. Take one lungi, after 1 week, whenever he needs to go for a ghusl, have a bath, wash his clothes, he put the same kurta back on. They wash the clothes, hang it up until it gets dry. As Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi, Muslim Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi mentioned that he had one kurta, one pyjama, one trouser, one topi, and one lungi bas. On Friday, he would go in the morning by the river, wash his clothes, wear his lungi. By the time Jummah time come, the clothes is dry, he wears clothes and he come for Jummah. How simple they were. And because they were so simple, they lived so simply, nobody could buy them out. They could make that shirt also in the Darul Uloom Deoband. In one of the conditions that they put, is that they mustn't take money from the government. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanwatwi himself, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned that as long as this madrasa doesn't have income from the government, then the madrasa will run properly. Once they start taking money from the government, then that's the time they're going to go off. Why? Because they could do it. They could make, because they had lived simple lives. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, rahmatullah, you read regarding him, how simple he was. He went to the khanka of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri, rahmatullah, he found one blanket outside, somebody had thrown it. The people of the town or the village, they threw it. He picked it up, he washed it, made it part, he wore it. How long he wore it? For 14 years. 14 years, that was his blanket, that was his musalla, whatever he needed, he done with that one. 14 years. In a masjid where he went, he was studying in a masjid in Delhi, the person used to give two rotis. Every day, how many rotis? Two rotis. Because you're staying in a masjid, you're making the imamat or whatever, you get two rotis. Now, another student came, he said, no problem. You take one roti, I take one roti. Third student came, now what are they going to do? Fourth student came, now what are they going to do? So they told the person who was giving them the two rotis, he said, don't give us the roti, give us the flour. Give us the flour. Then they take the flour, they mix it in water, they drink the thing up like that. Just like that. That's how they lived. In the night, it's cold, what they must do? They lie down on one side of the chatai, and then they roll themselves up like that. Right till the other side of the masjid. Head is outside, legs are outside, it's cold, what are you going to do? But never mind, at least the middle is covered. In the morning, they open themselves, roll themselves up like that. Sadgi. That's why they couldn't get bought. Nobody can tell them, you see, if you do this, we'll give you a little bit of money, then you don't do this. All the stories of the great Akabir, this thing was the simplicity. They brought simplicity. And one of the common denominators of all the Akabir was that all of them took bayat on the hands of some big sheikh. On the hands, and they made the islah. Each and every one of them. They made the islah and they had that fikr of the islah. How the islah is going to get done. And this is not something which came to, as we explained, this came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam down. It is said regarding Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Ali al-Thaqafi rahmatullahi, he was aqalun nas. Aqalun nas That means in his zamana, they say he was the most intelligent of people. He took his aqal from Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, who in turn he learned this. He learned this. He learned this from Yahya ibn Yahya al-Nisaburi. And Yahya ibn Yahya al-Nisaburi stayed 1 year by Imam Malik rahmatullah just to learn this. So he used to say that if anybody, لو جمع رجل العلوم كله وصحب طوائف الناس لم يبلغ مبلغ الرجال إلا بالرياضة من شيخ أو من إمام ناصح يريه عيوب نفسه ورعونات نفسه. No, if a person gets all the ulum in the world, then he won't become a man until he sits at the feet of someone and he learns, who teaches him, this is what your nafs is teaching you, this is right, this is not right. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.